Hello, everybody. Welcome to UGA Sports Live Show. My name is Roddy DeBolse. I'm joined by Dane Young, Dave McMahon, and, of course, the Hall of Famer Jim Donnan. Our recruiting expert, Jake Roos, is, he's gone. He's sick. He's kind of feeling under the weather today, so we're going to let him have the day off. But that doesn't mean that he's off the hook for work, because he actually had a good insider report yesterday on a number of Georgia targets. You know, a five-star running back, five-star tight end, a possible five-star defensive end out of Georgia. So be sure to go by UGASports.com. Check out the insider notes that Jake Roos had up yesterday. So after that nice insider report, we can let him take off an hour to get healed up and get his butt back to work. So
I like your philosophy of work. Even when you're sick, you have to work.
Yeah. Well, you're at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like we have an office to go to. So get back to work. So we do want your questions. So send them in to us. We'll answer. We've already had a bunch of them put up on the dog vents at UGASports.com. We'll get to those questions first. You know, we try to take care of our subscribers first. We also try to take care of anybody who subscribes to this channel. We appreciate that. So send in your questions. We will get to them. We are in Academia Brewing Company right now. They are not canning today, but I'm sure it'll be loud later on. We're having a great lunch. And there's some great beers here. I'm looking at the Front Side Rhine Tricks, the Be Well, the Two Times IPA, the Death Ripper, the Shiver, the Skull, the Imminent Zest, Turkey Tail, Chocolate Therapy, Cure for Jitters, and Mercy. And there's about six other beers I didn't
name. Send your ninja.
So they have a ton of great beers here at Academia Brewing Company. And if you want, they had a ton of folks that came in and watched the NFC and AFC championship games. This would be a great place to come watch the Super Bowl. You have giant screens behind us, you know, projection screens. They have the lounge where you can just sit and drink there. You can get one of the best meals in Athens, one of the best restaurants in town is here. They have a chef. I can guarantee you will love the food here. And you can try all these different beers and watch the game on their giant screens and TV. So hit up our friends here at Academia Brewing Company when you are in town. Right now, our man Anthony Dasher is in Mobile, Alabama. He is covering the Senior Bowl. We will have a lot of Senior Bowl coverage coming to you, which brings up my first question for Coach Donnan. We know that Richard LeCount's not out there yet. I think he's still recovering. He's not ready to quite go at it. But of the guys who are at the Senior Bowl, Coach, who needs to make a statement? Who needs to get in front of those scouts and say, hey, I can play at this level. I need to show you what is it Mark Webb? I mean, who needs to show the most? Because I think you know what you're getting in some of those other guys, but everybody's out there to make a name for themselves to prove that they can do it. I think that, the interviews and the practices will be big, but some of those guys seem to me to need it more than others. Kind of give me your take if you would, Coach.
You know, more than ever, this Senior Bowl is emblematic of COVID and the situation with us not having for the fans out there that hadn't heard, they're not going to have the combine in Indianapolis. So this is really the best shot that any young man will have from a comparative standpoint, where he's going against somebody similar, you know, one-on-one for the DBs, D-line against the O-line, all that stuff, as compared to the Indianapolis combine, where they just get an inordinate amount of stuff and testing and comparative stuff where they're going drills against other guys. So anything else will be on campus here. And most of that will probably be on tape. Not many guys will actually come here for a pro workout, I wouldn't think, because of the restrictions NFL will put on them. So this is just going to be huge for getting down there. Face-to-face, just the fact that, you know, if you're face-to-face with somebody compared to – and the eyeballs watching you, I don't know what kind of NFL guys are going to be there. A lot of it probably will be on tape there too, but, you know, you are going against other people. So I would say DBs for sure, Webb and certainly Daniel going up against people. And, you know, Daniel's got some good tape. Our own – Brent Rollins put out a little bit of deal on UGA Sports the other day about him covering Jamar Chase 2 years ago. And you just can't back up like that and play guys like number one draft choices if you're some Willie off the pickleball corner. So he's got some ability to do some stuff. And then, you know, the other guys, I don't know. I can't specifically say who it's going to help the most, but I would say anybody there is going to benefit or maybe hurt themselves. You just don't know how you do when you go down there. Sometimes you stress out and you press and you don't, you're all your tape is one thing, but you know, a guy's first impression sees you. I know the Carolina Panthers staff's coaching one. We can ask Stats who the other guy is, the other team is coaching. But, you know, a lot of times a team that's a low draft choice, as far as, I mean, they're there because they had the low record, but they get the high draft choice. They see a guy in camp they really fall in love with at this Senior Bowl, and they draft him. So we've seen that happen with Coach Gruden out at Las Vegas. We've seen it. The Chargers really liked Herbert. So I think it's going to be a good week, and I'm glad Dash is there. I hope he stays away from going fishing out there and doing any seafood, going out on any seafood, sea charters. But he'll get some good info there and see how these guys are meshing up. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe somebody asked me somebody specifically, then I could say. But I would say the two corners more than anything.
Well, let me ask you a specific one then, Coach, because I'm thinking if I walk up and I see Ben Cleveland, I'm just going to say, oh, man, who is that guy? Does he have that kind of potential just with the mountain man down there?
Well, I guarantee you nobody's going to be as impressive, particularly when they do the bench press, which they don't do at this deal here, but he's got a chance to set the record for the combine. I don't know if they have a mini combine, but he'll do the bench press more than probably anybody's ever done it. Just a man mountain Dean looking kid, that young man that's going to be very impressive. And he's really this year of anybody that came back at Georgia in the history of Georgia, I think this year had to really leapfrog his ability working with a different O-line coach, whatever it was. But, you know, he had an all-conference year and really was solid all year long, particularly in pass protection. What you're looking for in NFL right now with all these RPOs, with all these plays where you don't have to pass protect nearly as long, you need a guy that can move somebody. I mean, you're going against a big old guy on the other side of the line, and you got to get at least a tie, get some movement, because all these good backs just look for a little edge there. And if you can get 5 or 6 yards running the ball in the pros, that's awesome. I mean, you 5 or 6 yard run is golden because it's a passing game. So I think Ben's going to really have a good draft. I think he's going to be taken a lot sooner than he would have if he hadn't come back for his 19th year last year.
And Coach, to answer your question, it's the Panthers and the Dolphins are the two coaches representative.
What's that now?
It's the Panthers and the Dolphins are the two team, coaching staff that are representative.
Coaching.
Okay. So. Dolphins, they had a good year. I guess I don't know how that happened.
They know somebody probably in Mobile. I would ask you specifically maybe what about Malik Herring. You know, when we look at him, you know, we've seen how well he's graded out, how important he's been to Georgia's defensive schemes. But I don't think that Malik Herring has that name recognition throughout the rest of, you know, the draft boards and the scouting stock. You don't hear a lot of buzz about Malik Herring, but I'm like, this is a guy who just produced. I mean, is this a game where he can really show that, hey, I'm not just the productive guy at Georgia, I can produce in the NFL as well?
I think with Malik Herring, one thing that helps him is just whatever face time that that guy gets with scouts and coaches, just because he's so impressive just as a young man. And I know that's the case for a lot of Georgia players, but he's been a team leader at Georgia, had not been a diva, anything like that, just productive. You know, and the tape that we watch for Film Don't Lie, what I can say about Malik Herring is that he just didn't get beat. You know, he didn't get pushed out of the way. He did his job. He made other people's jobs easier. And, Coach, that's got to be the kind of guy that you look up and it's like, oh, man, he's been in the league for 10 years at this point.
Yeah, of your 53-man roster that you have in the pros, you don't have 35 blue-chip all-world players. I mean, you just don't have it. But you have to have guys that are consistent, that are good character people, that are going to make the plays that are there and not hurt you with just being a guy that's just occupying space. I mean, you're going to have to be able to be productive and get some pluses on your grade and not just negatives or ties. So you see all the time, guys, in the NFL, if you can get one or two high-pressure plays during the game and then maybe a lost yardage play, that's a good guy. That's a really good job for a pro player because he's going against the offensive line guy that, you know, his job is, you know, not to give up any pressures or not to give up any sacks. So, but, you know, I think the value we have in our website and to have people like you and Brent analyzing it and also having the structure where nobody else has the pro football grades where they find out exactly how these kids grade, why they're graded, what they're looking for. And that's just a real good value to be able to, for all the fans to look at that because you're seeing it in the eyes of what a pro coach would look at as far as what he's trying to do to draft a guy. And his grades are very significant. Certainly, we talked about the thing we got to do in looking at the combine or the Senior Bowl, but, you know, your film is what you are. You are what you are. You can't hide it. And they've got inordinate amount of tape on these guys. I mean, I would share this with the fans that something that they might know or might not know, but during the course of the season, the NFL has a working agreement with the college teams that they get every tape of every game right after the game. And they're looking at it just like the NFL coaches give their tape to the colleges. So let's say Kirby Smart played a game on Saturday night and then Sunday the Atlanta Falcons ran a 2-point play and somebody said, hey, the Falcons ran a great 2-point play. Why don't we look at that? Well, they got that right on in their library of tapes that they can look and analyze. And these analysts are looking throughout the day on Sunday at the NFL stuff, the cutups of 2-point plays, of 15-yard runs or more, of 25-yard passes or more, of third-down passes, all this stuff you're looking to compare and pick it up. And I know I'm rambling, but I'm giving you some facts that you wouldn't hear.
I didn't know that.
I don't brag about that. I'm just telling you, you've got to copy. It's a copycat world.
Yeah.
I know I have very little dialogue with the coaches, but I saw a 2-point play that a team ran in a bowl game. And it was a screen to the wide receiver. And then he looked like he was going to run with it. And then he just turned and ran the hook and ladder to the back coming out of the backfield off the quick screen. And they made the 2-point play. And I'm not sure if it's college or pro, but the idea is when I see stuff like that, I don't do much, but I try to give that to our coaches because I'm watching games on Sunday. They're not watching that, but they got analysts that do it. So, but it's
Coach, you mentioned that Kirby has mentioned in the past where they put together film packets, you know, of certain situations. And they say, because he says, yeah, we're looking all over the country. I thought when he said that, I thought he meant just like college teams. So a 3rd and 1, a 4th and 1, and he shows them all the times that it happened well and it happened poorly. So, because we've asked him, you know, are your guys bummed out about not doing X? He says, yeah, but we showed him how 14 other teams couldn't do the same thing. And then we showed him 16 other teams did do the same thing, what they did right, what they did wrong. So those film sessions aren't just, hey, let's look at Georgia. I thought it was just college teams, but apparently he's doing it with the NFL as well.
Coach, how long has this been around? Like for the average fan, they might not have known this as well. How long has this been around? I mean, was it around in your time that they were sending some kind of, obviously they were, not back, as back, much technology.
Back when I was coaching, it was just a deal where they would request the tape or the, you know, and we would send it to them. We didn't have access to it. Dan Reeves would let us go over to Atlanta anytime we wanted to, over to Flowery Branch and watch their stuff, you know, but that was mostly in the off season, not during the year. But now with the ability of internet and the, you know, it used to be, it was cloak and dagger exchange in film. You know, the guy said, well, I lost the film, you know, we sent it, but, and you get it a day late, but now, now it's not that you got to, our film guy will send our stuff immediately to the other people. And within the SEC, any coach in the SEC can watch any other team's tape anytime. They don't watch a practice tape, of course, but they got it right on their computers, and it's just amazing how they can look at all that stuff. And I tell you what's really good, though, from a teaching and tech point, technical standpoint, we're doing a little bit too much football on here. Maybe we go back to these other things. But when you can look at, as a coach, at a guy from the end zone shot, where you're looking at him from behind, and from the side shot where you're looking at him like we would a TV copy, you know, when you're watching a game on channel 5 or channel 46 or whatever you're watching, you're seeing the all 22 right there. Or you can see the same thing with a tight end zone shot where it really comes up in there really tight and looks at the old line and not the wide receivers, just a 5-on-5. And you also see it from the other side, the D line, from an end zone shot. So you actually have four copies of any tape: end zone tight, end zone wide, wide tight, and wide wide. You know what I mean? So, I mean,
wide from the side.
Side wide and side tight. But the point is, these guys are really looked at very, very diligently, and they do the same thing in off season program. They film every drill, watch every tape, grade the guys every day on how they did. And the kids are worried about it because you don't want to be on the, I'm not going to call the name of it, but begins with the S and ends in the T list of not performing in the off season. Because if your name's on that board, you want to get it off.
Well, there's all that video that's out there, but I think the thing that helps Georgia prospects right now too is just the increased relations with NFL teams. I think in the last couple of years, you've seen more NFL coaches come to college and college go to pro. It's kind of mixing more than it seems like that it used to. And so obviously Kirby Smart is a former NFL assistant coach, and he's got connections all around the league. But having Todd Monken, who was in NFL offices in Tampa and then also in Cleveland, he's getting texts all the time, I'm sure, of like, hey, even if it's not guys that he coached directly, but, you know, what did Malik Herring do in practice? What did he make tough on, you know, your offense? I think those kind of things. And then even the connections like Matt Luke, he's going to have guys that at Ole Miss he would talk to more in terms of an NFL scouting. So the relationships from the NFL to the coaching staff in Athens is just out of this world, I think.
Very good point. And you can liken that to a high school coach or a guy at a camp recommending a high school player to a college coach. And if you are very consistent in the way you recommend people and you tell the coaches how it's supposed to be and all that, then that speaks volumes to a coach that, you know, hey, this guy wouldn't recommend if he couldn't play. And I know the same thing happens to me when, because it's important to me, I tell these guys, If I'm going to recommend you, it's because I'm going to recommend you. Because if I don't feel good about it, I say, look, I mean, right now I just can't. And that's hard to do sometimes because they're your friends. But, you know, the guy's just not capable of that role yet, or he's never will be, so to speak. But, you know, fortunately for me, guys, you know, they at least know that I know what it takes for these guys to make it up there. And so they listen a little bit. And Roddy and I have talked about it, just draft day, how many guys just hit you up, particularly on these fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round guys. Coach, what do you think? You know, right there, would you take him? You know, I mean, you get five or six of those on draft day from whether it be Andy Reid or John Harbaugh or whoever it might be, because
– see, they don't text me as much as they text you. I don't understand why.
No, I'm not dropping. I'm not trying to add to the value of this. In fact,
I've said for years, and I pointed out, they do call you.
It's going to be harder for me this year to be involved because I haven't watched these guys practice like I did before. You know what I mean? I do know the upperclassmen a lot better, but the guys coming out of the juniors, I know how good they played watching them on the watch along show and all that, but watching them practice, you can tell a lot about a guy in practice. Here's the point here, and then I'm going to cut it here. How does he act when something goes wrong? You know, is he a jerk? Is he blaming on somebody else? Is he walking over there? Is he finger pointing? Or is he just trying to pick it up a little bit and understand that, hey, everybody gets beat, you know, because you got to have a selective amnesia in pro football. You got to forget about the previous play. If you're walking around thinking about that, you're going to get burned. And I saw a great example of leadership on Sunday by Mahomes. You know, McCole dropped that punt and went over there and put that hoodie over him and on the sideline. And Mahomes walked over and said, look, man, you're going to be all right. You're going to come back. I mean, that's a great example of leadership there. I mean, make the guy, you know, he feels low about what happened, but, you know, hey, he's got a long way to go. And that's the same thing about practice. I like to see how a guy handles adversity. And, you know, let's say a guy knocks him around a little bit. Is he going to come back and fight a little bit and compete? Or is he just going to wag his tail and walk to the back of the line? I like a guy that gets his butt beat and jumps up and wants to go again. You know what I mean? I like to see that.
I agree. I always think of Corey Moore and Amarlo Herrera as two of those guys that just, my God, if you got them one time, you better pray that they didn't. That was the last play of the game because those guys were coming back on the next play. So, and also, you know, one guy we didn't mention who's at the recent Senior Bowl, Monty Rice. You know, if Monty Rice missed a tackle, which there weren't many, he's going to lay somebody out on the next play. So, Monty, and you'll get those character calls, and I think a lot of people will be able to say, hey, Monty's a great guy. He'll be a great addition to your team. The guy, his football IQ is off the charts. He's going to be a fantastic addition. And I don't think anybody will have a problem recommending Monty Rice. And speaking of recommendations, I don't think anybody has a problem recommending our friends over at Athens Ford. I know a lot of people who have bought some new vehicles over there. They've bought pre-owned vehicles. All of them, of course, got the lifetime powertrain warranty. Some of them have gotten the $500 discount for being a student or being a recent graduate. Don't know anybody that's taking advantage of the military discount, but I know they do offer it. A lot of folks, if you are a veteran or, you know, active member of the military, you can also get a $500 discount. That's on top of anything else you do. It's just go to the website, let them know that that's who you are, and you'll get that discount. Of course, they have a ton of vehicles out there, new and pre-owned. You can reserve your Bronco. I know Chris out there has put in his reservation for one, so it should be showing up. Those Broncos are amazing looking. I can't wait to see Chris's when it comes in. We'll probably have to do a show from inside it, you know, and sit in the front seat.
I'll be happy to go.
Just saying. Like, yeah, it's for the show, Chris. So, point being, you can get a Bronco out there. Of course, you can get the new Ford F-150s, 250s. They have deals on all those. But, of course, everything you get has a lifetime powertrain warranty. You don't get that anywhere else. And if you want one of the Ford certified pre-owned vehicles, this is the number one dealer in the state of Georgia for getting the Ford certified pre-owned. My personal favorite way to buy a vehicle, because you get a brand new vehicle without a brand new vehicle price tag. So I can't recommend that enough. And again, it's just like we talk about recommended Monty Rice or Ben Cleveland or Richard LeCount, you know, any of those guys. Say, hey, this is a Mark Webb, you know, a DJ Daniel, a Trey McKitty. We say, hey, these guys are going to contribute to your team. You have no reservations recommending them. I have no reservations recommending Athens Ford and our friends out there. I know we got some questions to get into.
Hey, I wanted to kind of highlight something that Coach said too. I liked his analogy of, you know, talking about how it's kind of like high school becomes a pipeline for colleges. And we say this all the time, right? So like Peach County, if there's a really good prospect that Georgia gets from Peach County, you know, they're going to know how to play football because they're tough, right? So that's just kind of the reputation that comes along with being from Fort Valley down there.
And if you have a bad reputation, you're like, I don't know about that kid.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain high schools that we talk about in our group chat that were like, oh, this is not a really good legacy from there. But that happens with NFL guys to college, too. And I think we've seen that, especially in Kirby Smart's era with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, because at one time, they did not go to Georgia quite as hard there. You know, and a lot of Falcons fans wonder, well, why don't the Falcons get more players from Georgia? I don't know the answer, because the talent has proven throughout the NFL that, you know, a lot of Georgia players perform well on Sundays. But the connection I've seen from the Patriots, I saw that coming up a couple of years ago when you would go to Georgia Pro Day and Belichick didn't send somebody. Belichick came by him, like every year it was him having eyes on someone. Then they have a whole staff they can send all around the country. He wanted to be in Athens to see those guys himself.
And Dane, not only like be there, but also contribute in like helping out with like some of the coaching things and being an active person out there.
Oh, yeah, they would help get the drills set up and show what they wanted to see. I remember I was at a Auburn Pro Day one time, and there was one scout hanging around. I think he was from the Bears at the time, and he wanted to see Cody Parkey kick indoor field goals. And he was just putting him at different spots and saying, I want you to kick it from here and do it from here. And then Cody Parkey ends up with the Bears one day. Unceremonious, you know, not a great ending for Cody Parkey there. But I'm saying that those relationships are built in those Pro Days and those things like that.
Belichick actually came in and worked out David Andrews just one-on-one, if I'm not mistaken.
David Andrews has a pretty good career there.
The night before, I saw Bill Belichick at the Georgia game with Lombardi, that guy that's his personnel assistant, and just went up there and saw him a little bit, and we talked about David a little bit, and he said he was going to be talking to some players the next day, and he was going – try to work him in too. But I'll give you the all-time workout story, and we've had this on a long time ago, but it's worth telling. Bill Parcells was going to look at drafting Patrick Pass, but as everybody knows, Patrick had unbelievable turf toe for the whole time he was here. I've never seen a guy, Dr. Mulhern said in the history of his life, he's never seen anybody just had chronic turf toe. A guy had really good speed and he's tough and all, but everybody had a tendency to say, you know, hey, he was he was just injury prone, but he really just had turf toe the whole time. So we had it set up for Bill, sent Charlie Weiss down here to work him out. And everybody knows Charlie's a little heavy. Just so happened that the quarterback that was supposed to work him out wasn't here. And I started trying to find people and going everywhere and nobody was there. And Charlie said, well, I'll just look at the tape. I said, look, you got to watch this guy in person. He can run all your routes. He said, well, I can't throw the ball. I said, well, I'll work him out. So Charlie Weiss, it was cold now. He had on some type of a sweat top, but his boiler was hanging out. I mean, it was hanging out there, and it was gross looking. Now I'm telling you, Charlie Weiss. And so we walk out there on the field, and it's just me and Patrick, no managers, anything. We got some balls, and I said, hey, Patrick, I'm going to give you the routes that you look the best at. I'm not going to be able to throw it deep like I used to, but I'm going to work you out, and we're going to make this guy see what you can do. And he said, okay, coach. He said, you sure you can handle it? I said, yeah, I can handle it. I can throw good enough. So, but I wasn't doing a pro quarterback workout. I can tell you that. I was working my boy Patrick out. So we go out there on the turf field. It's the middle of February, and we throw swing routes, delay routes, screens, and just for all those people that want to know, we actually threw some wheel routes too. Nobody covered that day out there on the field. But anyhow, we did a lot of good things, and I had fun doing it. And Charlie was amazed at Patrick, and then he gave me a little that a boy said, coach, you still got it a little bit, but you know, I can hit those short balls. But I really enjoyed the fact that after that, they saw what his skill level was, and his stats can tell you. How long did he play up there? Did he
played eight years in the NFL, seven with the Patriots, with the Giants.
And really two Super Bowl rings at least. Yeah.
He's got a couple rings. I mean, he might have turf toe, but his rings have full of rings.
And he's great on returning kicks too, yep, and special teams. But what I'm saying is those workouts are I think that really solidified. You can see, because we weren't throwing the ball to the backs that much. And that's a long story, but it's a funny story. And it's a true story that you know, you can help a guy do stuff like that. And we had another guy up at Marshall one time, Mike Bartram, who was a deep snapper, and they needed one. And I said, send your guy in here. And he sent, I think Romeo Crennel came in there and watched him deep snap. And he'd only been doing it a year because we got a guy hurt, but he was a tight end. They played quarterback in high school. And stuff like that happens, man. You can make it for a long time in the league.
I always point out this when we talk about rankings. So everyone's, you know, why do you move guys up and down in the All-Star games? You know, they've played their final senior season. Everyone thinks that at the end of the last play of their last season, we should have them ranked. We should be done with the rankings. doesn't always work that way, because sometimes if you have a kid who's from California or New Jersey or, you know, Kansas, you may not get out to see him, even if you're one of our national guys, because he's not in your area. You know, our guys will have 3, 4, 5 states, sometimes just one state if it's a big state, but you don't get to see all these guys nationally. You've watched their film, and you can come up with a very good, accurate ranking on their film, but then you get to see them in person. You get to see how sharp the cuts are, how crisp the routes are. You get to see them go up against somebody else who's as good as they are. And so a lot of times we see a bunch of numbers kind of moving around in the rankings where we move guys up. Sometimes people say, well, how did that guy drop? He didn't drop. It's just we moved other people ahead of him. So, yeah. And sometimes you drop a guy, but it's, again, it's seeing them in person. And that's why we're, you know, it's why we sent Bash out to the Mobile Senior Bowl to, you know, I mean, the recent Senior Bowl in Mobile to, there's nothing, he's not scouting out there, just to report on those guys, because we think that the Georgia players who are out there can impress the scouts enough in person to make a name for themselves. You see, sure. You can look at the film, but the film does not give you an idea of how massive Ben Cleveland is or how physically cut and how stout Mark Webb is. Mark Webb, you know, everyone's like, well, he was a wide receiver in high school. Yeah, and he's a hell of a star at Georgia. So does he fit your system? You need to go out there, think about your route, I mean, what your needs are, and you look at him in person and see what it is. That's why the pro days are so big. That's why the combine is so big. I know a lot of people say, well, they're just in shorts. Yeah, you can tell a lot in shorts. Can't tell everything, but the more information you have, the better you have at making a good decision.
And the time frame for the fans out there is such that you have your area scout, like, because of, you know, some guy will have a certain 5 or 6 areas, and you have those all around the country, and then you have your personnel department that gets these reports in from all the scouts, and then they'll send out the position coaches to actually go on campus and work these guys out and see how they rate, you know what I mean? So every O-line coach, you can go to different schools, but I don't know how they're going to do this now with the COVID. I think they'll probably just do it with Kirby will have a pro day and take the film of it and probably send it to all the teams. That's probably the only way you can do it. But it is a microscopic check on all these guys. I mean, hand size, x-rays, everything about them, because, you know, it's just like hiring somebody. You're going to vet somebody if you're going to invest that much money in giving somebody a new job. It's the same way with a pro team. And your job depends on it. I mean, you look at the turnover in NFL this year, 7 or 8 coaches, new coaches right now. So all of those teams are going to be really having a new situation. How do you mesh with the general manager? Who's making the final call on the draft? You know, every team, and like Jerry Jones, he makes all the calls, Jerry and his son. You just got to figure it out what the chain of command is with this new guy in Atlanta. How's he going to work Smith with Fontenot? How's that going to be? And it's all communication.
And one of the big pieces to fall, we learned in the last few days, is going to be where Matthew Stafford ends up, because his time with the Detroit Lions is over and he's got a lot of good football left in him. So he will be a starter for somebody.
Here's the point, and that's a very good point. There's going to be some really good quarterbacks out there that are in the so-called transfer portal for pros, including maybe Aaron Rodgers, because what you got to look at, though, is if you're going to take this guy, are you ready to take his $30 million contract on your – I mean, can you do it? And, you know, of course, most teams would take him no matter what. Same thing with Stafford. But you got to look at your other – there are other players on your team as, well, hey, we got to take Matthew Stafford, you know, I mean, but maybe you can't because of the situation with your cap space. You only got so much money. And that's one thing that's going to help Urban Meyer going into Florida, to Jacksonville. They got so much cap space that they can use for these down-the-line players to give your overall squad. And then, of course, they're going to get the number one draft choice, probably Trevor Lawrence. So he's coming into a good situation there. The team was in the playoffs 2 years ago, taking up from Rome a little bit. But, you know, realistically, they got a decent squad and a lot of cap space.
That's the last thing I want is an Urban Meyer have success.
Yeah.
Hey, Roddy, I want to kind of transition because you had a note on the UGA Sports Dog Vent yesterday. Georgia's defensive back coaching search continues, and we're kind of hearing some names that are floating around in and out of that. And I know a lot of our fans and subscribers kind of want the update in that situation because we are still having the upcoming, I guess, end of signing day coming up. I don't think that'll really be impacted by the defensive backs coach, but spring ball's coming soon.
Yeah. Before we get into that, Kirby Smart has a choice to make. And we talk about choices. I always tell our friends, when you are going out to get pizza, swing out by our friends at Your Pie Pizza. That's and a lot of people at Your Pie, they still think to this day that it's a dessert company, you know, and they get cheesecakes. No, Your Pie is like your pizza pie. Think about it as a pizza. And they have a lot of healthy choices out there. You can get the vegan, you can get vegetarian, you get keto if you're doing the keto thing. If you're allergic to gluten, you can get gluten-free pizza. You get low-carb, low-cal, or you get plant-based. My wife's got into the plant-based stuff a lot. There's a lot of fake meats in our refrigerator now. Now she can get the plant-based meats on her pizza. Not my thing, but I respect it because I like living with her and don't like sleeping in the car. My point is, if you have a dietary preference and you have thought that maybe I can't have pizza, that is not true. Drew French and Natalie French and the whole Your Pie franchise chain, they have done wonders to accommodate different dietary needs, dietary choices, lifestyles. And you can hit them up. And today is Tuesday, so if you order on the app, you get double the points, which gets you free food much faster than anything I've ever seen. So that's why I mentioned that. You know, if you're trying to make a good choice, choose to go to Your Pie. Kirby Smart's got some choices to make when it comes to getting a new coach in the secondary there. We put out, I think the first day that when news was breaking that Charlton Warren, who has now been announced as the defensive coordinator at the University of Indiana, he is now the guy there. Congratulations to Charlton Warren for stepping up and getting a promotion there. Kirby Smart's coaching tree looking pretty good.
And you know, actually, he's going to coach the linebackers instead of secondary.
What? That I did not realize. Oh, wow. So that's awesome for him. But, you know, with Mel Tucker moving up and guys, you know, we see a lot of players who are moving. It's going to be a lot of coaches who are moving up, you know, and Kirby Smart's going to have to – he's going to have to do the same thing Nick Saban does. He's going to have to fend off – or not really fend off, but he's going to have to deal with the fact that other programs, and as Dane pointed out, NFL teams as well, other teams, other programs are going to come for his coaches. They've done that with Nick Saban for years. You know, they're going to come after Kirby Smart's coaches. So each year we're going to have to deal with this. And right now, Georgia's looking to replace one coach in Charlton Warren, and they got to come up with a few guys in the secondary. And again, secondary is like Georgia's biggest question mark right now. So getting that guy in will be big. We did break the news the other day that Georgia was looking at a gentleman by the name of TJ Rushing of Texas A&M. Does not look like – I don't think it's going to go forward with him. Don't know, but we know that Georgia was interested. But another name that we broke yesterday that's kind of interesting is Jamal. I would pronounce it Jamil because I have a brother named Jamil, but I think this might be Jamal Addae, A-D-D-A-E. He is the cornerbacks coach at the University of West Virginia. Another guy worth keeping an eye on to see. We know he's in the process somewhere. We don't know the status and all that stuff. And we can speculate and we hear things, but we can just say, look, that's a name to look into. So there was a lot of discussions on the Dog Vent the last few days about these two new names that popped up. You really want to be a member of UGASports.com to get these names before they pop up anywhere else in the media. You know, we know that other folks in the media read our stuff and then take it out from behind the paywall and put it out in the public, which is fine. But if you want it first and you want the most information, you have to be a member of UGASports.com. It's 27 cents a day. You can't beat it. And that's where you find out the accurate information, stuff like this, you know. So don't know where it stands right now. Coach, I don't have the feeling that Kirby Smart's in a hurry here. My thought was when Charlton Warren was announced, he's going to jump on somebody, get it announced immediately, and then tell all these defensive backs who are in their portal or like Terry Arnold, who he's recruiting, here's the new guy, let you introduce it, and try to work on that relationship with signing day just around the corner. But that does not seem to have been Kirby Smart's MO. I don't think he's in a hurry to make this coaching hire, or am I wrong?
Yeah, he's always going to be very, patient about hiring the coach. And you got to understand, there's a lot of coaches that like to come here. And
yeah,
some of them would like to come here. And then when they get a chance to come here, the other place tries to keep them. I know you look around the country, some of these guys getting promoted, I would think maybe they might have been had some initial interest by Georgia that helps them get a better job, and that's okay too. But
Eddie Graham. I was just coughing. Eddie Graham.
Eddie Graham, that happened, but we never.
I didn't say that, Coach. I just coughed.
You okay?
I'm okay. I'm having a sip of water.
I don't think it affects recruiting near as much as it used to do, because we just have a different scenario in recruiting. You didn't have any face to face a lot with these kids.
Good point.
And you hadn't built up that personal relationship with them. So mostly he's on Zoom anyhow. So anybody new that would come in would have that with Arnold, but they do know Kirby and Lanning and Schumann and all those other guys, Nick Williams, all the guys that help him. So that's not going to be the final verdict on Terry and Arnold. But as we've talked about on this show ad nauseum, Kirby has his pulse on the secondary. I mean, just like I used to have it more on the offensive backs and quarterbacks, because that's what you play, or what you coach. But, you got to get somebody who can blend in with him, blend in with Lanning. And certainly Lanning's had some contact with the guys he used to coach with. He knows how these guys – I think one of the biggest things for me is how does a guy react – as a coach in practice, how does he handle the games? Is he a quick thinker? Can he adjust very, adroitly during the games? What kind of communications he have with the players? How does he do in meetings? All these things are really critical, and they'll be very, very well for somebody to come in here and get a secondary job here. He better have his ass in gear now. Because, excuse my language, but
no, you're coming in with one of the best.
You're coming in here with a top five in the world secondary guy in Kirby Smart, and you're not going to be able to BS your way through anything. You're going to have to come in here, and he's going to say, "Hey, if they come out in this, and we've got this, what do you usually check to, or how do you play the slot with your star, or what do you do?" With your to disguise your coverages when they're doing this, and just a lot of the basic stuff that I'm throwing out here for the fans. But not only that, but show me your drill. What do you do if a guy's having trouble with putting his hand placement with his thumbs together? How are you gonna get him to realize he's got to get his thumbs out when the ball's low? Or what do you do on your tackling drills when the guy has a tendency to miss the inside shoulder when he's coming out inside out, things like that? Those are really good things that you'll be talking to him about.
Well, Kirby Smart has the luxury of time.
And can you deliver when the band's playing, when we got to have a guy, it's between you and Nick Saban. What you going to do, man?
Oh yeah.
Kirby's got the luxury of time on his side because it's a position coach rather than a coordinator. You only have to look as far as what LSU just went through with its defensive coordinator search to see that it can be a little tough out there getting some of these new coaches. And, they wanted to get, Freeman from Cincinnati? He went to Notre Dame. They wanted to get one of the assistants from the New Orleans Saints. They denied it, which I don't think I'd ever seen before. They would not let him out of his contract.
I told you the Saints are a garbage institution.
And then they wound up getting an assistant from the Minnesota Vikings. So, LSU has gone through the ringer in a defensive coordinator search. So Kirby Smart, I think, is very fortunate not having to replace one of the coordinators. And it's a position coach, obviously the position that he's the specialty at.
Not yet, but he's had to fend him off for Dan Lanning once, if not twice already. He's already lost his – offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator since he's gotten here too. I mean, it's
But Roddy, as well as I do that when these names leak out, a lot of times that's agents getting money and getting contracts.
Well, I agree. But I'm saying we've seen him, Jim Chaney was hired away. He let Coley go, you saw Mel Tucker get hired away. So it happens even at the coordinator's
spot. If you don't have coaches that other people are looking at, more
you
than
likely, good coaches.
You don't have a good team.
More than likely, you're not winning.
That's a good point. Which brings up this question for you, Coach. Which is more important, good coaches or good players?
Is that a rhetorical question?
It is.
Hey, you better get the players.
I just wanted it. I want it on record. I swear to God, Jimmy's and Joe's.
Nick Saban.
Jones win.
Nick Saban was 52 years old before he won his first national championship.
You think he didn't win too much national titles at Michigan State?
That's true. I'm just saying, you got to players.
It's a player. Again,
players win games and players lose games. Coaches lose them a little bit just by some decisions, but it usually gets out there about some player. Like last week, I'm sure Green Bay told that guy, hey, play deep. They only got 4 seconds to go. Play deep. And they throw the ball with 4 seconds to go for a touchdown. You know, amazing.
I do enjoy seeing the coaching trees develop, though, because even this was this morning that Sam Pittman in Arkansas hired Cody Kennedy to be his tight ends coach. Well, Cody Kennedy was one of the graduate assistants with Pittman at, under Kirby Smart at Georgia. And he went off to Southern Miss for his first on the field coaching job. And here he is, second year with Pittman in the league as a head coach. And he's already bringing along these guys.
No question. I think Cody went to Tulane as the old line coach first, and then he went to just got the job.
You're right. Yeah. I forgot Tulane.
You better be ready if you're going to be on the show, Dane. We're going to be ready. No.
Well, you got like Mike McDonald, who gets hired to the Baltimore Ravens. Now it's, working in Michigan, guys like that. You see him move up, and I'm very excited for Mike and, him bringing in Hilo, guys like that. Hilo's now at Michigan. You see those coaching trees develop, and I go with Josh Brooks, who the first time I met him was like the gopher on the Georgia football team, director of operations, 800 different jobs, titles that he had to do. Then he leaves and goes to Millsaps and then ULM and then back to Georgia. Now he's number one guy. It's like when Coach points out these guys, I remember when he had holes in his shoes.
I think we need to give Josh a raise. I mean, he got a $483,000 raise, and he's still the lowest paid AD in the SEC. I see where they're paying that guy at Tennessee $1.8 million to be the AD.
When Josh gets me my concert in Sanford Stadium, he can have a raise.
I think the position at Georgia is one that should be looked at as one of the elite AD jobs, and the guy's very deserving of that. And to me, he should be paid.
You do the same thing with your coaches. You should do the same thing with your ADs. Anybody in your position, I don't care if it's it's Tim Clearly in ticketing, if he's the Georgia tickets are tough to come by, he needs to be paid what everybody else in that what the market will bear. I've always been for that, except for the guys on my staff who don't deserve a dime of what they get.
I just was bringing that out, though, because the guy at Tennessee is getting a $1.8 million. And certainly he's deserving, having been done a good job at Central Florida, but
won them a national title. I understand.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
And now he's going to have to go against Alabama to see what kind of national title experience he has.
But the Dane's point is,
lost to Alabama 13 straight years, or Florida one time out of the last 12, they beat them. So I mean,
yeah, they're good. But I like Dane's point about you see these coaching trees develop, and you see these guys who are GAs, and then all of a sudden they're a position coach, and then you see them, then they're a coordinator, then they're a head coach, and that's why it's if you can get a Jamal Adai, that's a guy who, he's on the right track. TJ Rushing looks to be on the right track. Look at some of the Christian Robinson. I'm trying to stay on Christian Robinson's good side, so that when he's a head coach, he can hire me to be his SID. I'm just saying that you never know where these guys are going to turn out. So be nice to all of them.
I can see you as an SID. Yes, sir.
they make you look good.
There's something you can see.
Here it is. Here's just the fake call here. Here's a guy from Rivals calls you up. You're the AD, you're the SID. Hey, did so and so sign with Georgia? Yeah, he signed last night. Let me give you all the stuff on him. you would be opening up your veins so much to those websites. Come on, man. Claude Felton, he called Claude and he'd say, Who is this? I don't know. What?
Well, yeah, I have seen Claude. I have learned from the master, but I could never do it. A job 1% as good as Claude does.
I can just tell you this. That guy is a supreme SID that's ever been. When they have a Hall of Fame for SIDs, I don't know if they have it. He should be in it. And it's not just because I worked with him here. I've been with him everywhere. There's not anybody anywhere that does more for a coach or for the school or just any. I mean, he just the ultimate. Wouldn't you say that, Stats?
And I've talked to at College Football Hall of Fame inductions and SEC Media Days and SEC Legends Dinners. And when I'm seeing 40, 50, I probably run into about 40 or 50 SIDs throughout the nation, and they all respect Claude. They all say, wow, you're from Georgia. Tell me, how's Claude doing? Everybody knows Claude.
That's because he's great at what he does, and he is a Hall of Famer in the Cosita, I believe. He's already
a genuine guy.
He treats everybody with that respect. It doesn't matter if you're a student coming in for the first time and you're nervous as hell, or if you've been doing it for 50 years. He treats everybody the same with that level of respect.
And he learned it from Dan McGill, who just had a birthday. If he was still with us, he had 100.
He would have been 100 yesterday. Yeah. So,
Claude is.
My point is, well, I mean, I am sitting here because of Claude Felton. So you understand what I say. I couldn't do my job. I couldn't do his job with 1/100th of the vitality and accuracy and vigor with which he does his job. That is not a hyperbole or exaggeration. He is a badass. And again, he sees these people when they come in as wet-nosed student assistants. And then later on, you know, they're running their ADs somewhere. So Claude seen it all. And again, you see that. I love to see his, not coaching tree, but his
SID tree.
His SID tree has got to be the biggest out there. So, but speaking of good decisions and taking care of people, I do want to mention one of our last two sponsors on the show, Aaron Overhead Doors. They take great care of all their customers. They treat you, whether you have 16 cents in your wallet to whether or not you're a king, they're going to treat you the same. They treat everybody with respect. They treat everybody with the greatest customer service that you can find. And it's regardless of industry. The customer service is not, hey, it's good for a garage door company. Hey, it's good for a contractor. Hey, it's good for somebody who's going to come out and do some work on your house. No, it's good for a Chick-fil-A or a baker. It's good for a wedding planner. It doesn't matter. It's their customer service is good across the board because that is what they sell first. They sell customer service, and they just happen to deliver garage door repair, garage door installation, design, custom work, residential, professional, you know, industrial type stuff. So again, what they are is a customer service company that just happens to do garage doors. So if you're in Gwinnett, Cobb, DeKalb, Barrow, Habersham, Dawson, Jackson, Hall County, Forsyth County, Oconee, Clark County, Walton, Cherokee, they got you covered. So reach out to them. You can do it for free. You can contact them for free. They're not going to say, oh, well, if you want to talk to us, it's going to be $75. They're not a plumber. You know, again, they believe in great customer service. And so they said, look, contact us for free. We'll give you an estimate. We're going to make sure that our employees come out there, not just random contractors who don't care whether or not it's done right. You know, they're just working for a paycheck. Now, these are actually employees who take pride in their work. So reach out to them. Also, check out our friends at DR Construction and Maintenance. If you're in down in Byron County or Long County or Liberty County and you need work done on your house, check out DR Construction Maintenance. Ronnie Brown down there will take great care of you. So again, I mean, you talk with him, you talk with folks there, it's his name on it, you know. So he will stand behind all the work he does, and he's not going to be one of those that tries to upsell you and give you a bunch of garbage stuff. So check out Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance down in South Georgia. So we've got North Georgia covered, South Georgia covered. If you need any work done on your house. And again, they're huge Georgia fans, gigantic Georgia fans. And that's why they sponsor our show. Yeah. So we reach out to
them. When I first heard the name Ronnie Brown, I always thought the Auburn guy. And then all of a sudden throughout this show, like from day one, I heard Ronnie Brown. And it turns out he's the good Ronnie Brown. And this Ronnie Brown is a huge Georgia fan.
Yes, he is. He's a good one. All right, Dane, hit us up with some questions. I know we answered a couple of them already.
Yeah, we'll shoot through some of these pretty quick. I'll take the first one because I've done a lot of reporting on this. This is DogDaddy37 asks, with several guys getting some cleanup types of procedures and surgeries done right after the bowl game, how are they recovering? Pretty much with knee scopes, that's going to be about 2 or 3 weeks. So some of those guys that had those are pretty much recovered by this point. Stuff like the labrum tear procedure that N'Kobe Dean and a couple other guys had, that's going to be a little bit longer and impact spring practice. Coach, one for you. This is from D-Rock UGA. He wants to know about two of your former UGA assistants getting SEC assistant coaching jobs with Doug Marrone in Alabama and Greg Atkins at South Carolina.
Yeah, you know, Doug decided to go back into college. You know, he's very tight with Bill O'Brien. They both coached together at Georgia Tech and had relationship in the pros, both of them being head coaches. And I think he's just tired of chasing around the pro scene there. You know, he had really good success there early with the Jags, but the last couple of years, quarterback issues certainly hurt him, lack of consistency there. So I feel like it's going to be a good move for him. I hate it for Georgia because, I mean, he's one of the best line coaches I've ever been around, really knows the old line, but also knows the total game. He was worked for down at, for the Saints for a long time before he got the pro job at Buffalo. Greg Atkins came to me from Marshall, was youngest assistant coach in the SEC when I hired him. And, you know, he's really did a good job with our D-line. You know, he had Ferguson and Smith and those guys, and then we moved him over to tight ends. And he's coached at Tennessee, Buffalo Bills, recently at Marshall. Recruited guys like Witherspoon, Boss Bailey, guys like that. Alex Jackson really has a good rapport with the kids. He'll be, to me, he's a strong hire for Beamer. Some of these guys I didn't know, but I guarantee you Greg Atkins will go in there, do a heck of a job for him.
M. Canty, UGA, wants to know if there are any updates on defensive backs that Georgia may lure through the transfer portal. Roddy, I guess I'll toss that to you.
No, see, that's why we need Jake on here.
The only thing I would say, any defensive back that's in the transfer portal, George is looking at him.
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to do the proper vetting, and there's plenty of them in there. We need to get one, maybe two.
I don't know which one they are. That's actually, we'll have Jake when he comes back, you know, put out a list of the ones that are in there. Now, the problem is when we try reaching out to some of these kids and say, hey, have these schools been in contact with you? They are very tight-lipped about who they're talking to. I don't know if that's the advice they're getting from the schools. Some of them will put out a list saying, hey, I'm in the transfer portal. Here are my top five. You know, so it's like they're back to being recruited again.
But that top five probably is a bunch of BS too.
I know. But again, they get the edits, you know, and they get the attention. And it comes to them, the attention that they needed, which is what put their ass in the transfer portal to begin with. You know, some of them are in bad situations and want to get out. Some of them want to get – they've had coaching changes and want to get out. So a lot of it's legitimate, but a couple of them, you know, they got these egos blown up through the recruiting process. Then all of a sudden they weren't as good as they thought they were. Now they want to get in the transfer portal. They want to get back to that, hey, look at me type thing. So,
yeah, well, like
some of the really good ones, they don't say a damn word. You were like – and again, we've known them. We're like, look, I've known you since you were in eighth grade. I'm just talking to coaches, you know, and again, I'm not busting on them. They don't have to tell us what's going on, but sometimes it'd be nice to know, hey, is Georgia talking to you? Is Clemson talking to you? Is Texas talking to you? And they're like, they ghost on you. So,
yeah, this guy says, I was a second team walk on defensive back at Slippery Rock. I'm in the transfer portal. My top five are Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, LSU. I mean, that's the way it goes, man. I mean,
We've seen some of those
at the Senior Bowl on these heights and weights. I saw where Devontae Smith is not even letting them weigh and measure him. Are you going to turn him down because he's not? I mean, because he weighs 163. I mean, so he's not even weighing and measuring there. So, but I saw where Ian Book was 6 feet tall instead of 6 feet one. So you know, got big hands though.
I say, what's the hand size? That's what they want to know is, you know, I will tell you one of the funniest things I ever learned going to Indianapolis was I was interviewing Georgia players and there was a quarterback sitting at one of the tables. and they were talking to him about his hand size, and he mentioned that he had been going to a physical therapist for like 3 months, who was just, you know, these quarterbacks, they get that kind of claw hand where they, you know, because they're throwing the ball all the time, and they had to bend his knuckles out and work with, basically hand massage and stretching to get his hand from like 8.5 to 9.75 or something like that. It grew out, but, you know, from ever since he was in fifth grade chucking a ball, you know, that hand was real tight, and they actually, I don't say broke his hand, but they stretched it out so that when he could go to the combine, he could slap it up on the board there and get above, you know, he was considered to be small handed, but he was like, no, I'm fine now. I wanted to get to 9 or 10, whatever it was. I can't remember the exact one, but I did not realize this guy had someone banging on his hand for 3 months to get it bigger.
Hand extensions,
yeah. Stretches. And
back in the days when they didn't do all that measuring, we had a quarterback at named Gary Huff at Florida State, and this pro guy came in there, and I said, what do you think about hand size? He said, I really like a guy that can put his hand on a salad, a big salad bowl, and pick it up and not touch the dressing. So, you know, that's what you're looking for.
Can you palm this basketball in a roundabout? Yeah, so I get it. So this
is that was pretty much all the questions we had, but I do want to give a shout out to Miko Hardman for making another Super Bowl. That's a big deal for Georgia.
DeAndre Baker's on the Chiefs also. I mean, he had a very interesting year. So
just glad things worked out for DeAndre.
I'm happy for Miko.
Yeah, glad it worked out for him. And
I tell you, you know, when Miko muffed that punt and everybody was kind of down on him, tweeted out, y'all don't understand, Miko, he's going to make a play, because if he makes a bad one, he'll make two or three to make up for it.
Yeah, that 50-yard run and a touchdown right after that.
I'd just like to be in the secondary and try to touch him or Hill running down the field. Yeah.
You need a sniper rifle.
And then you get destroyed by Kelsey. You don't win either way.
You're running close to Kelsey comes in.
I like those picks. My daughter showed me a pic of Mahomes when he was 5 years old when Tommy Boy was playing in his first Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's nice. Hey, shout out to Tom Brady for being the GOAT.
Hey. I mean,
I just like him less now that he's a Tampa Bay.
But, and Tom Brady would not have beat Tom Brady if it wasn't for a Georgia Bulldog, because Mo Lewis tackled Drew Bledsoe's ass to make him injured, so Tom Brady would play. So yeah, the Georgia Bulldog made Tom Brady Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever seen that Brady thing on YouTube when he talks about his biggest accomplishment? It was unbelievable. He's talking to the Michigan football team 6 or 8 years ago. He said, the best thing that ever happened to me in sports is when my own teammates made me captain of this team, sitting in these same seats as you guys did 10 years ago. I had the opportunity. I was kind of moving up the ladder, but to be the captain of the Michigan football team is the biggest accomplishment I ever had. And I tell you, it's pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, because that was – those are his guys. Those are his teammates. Those are his lifelong friends. Then you go to the NFL, that's your job.
Yep.
I don't like anybody I work with. I can tell you that right now. Matt.
I would have to say it's his wife more than anything.
But it's just nice that I think people we talked about how the college coaches are going from – or coaches are going from college to pro. We're also seeing high school guys going to college, you know, high school guys going into pro. Think of the guy from Buford. I can't think of Jeff. Anyway, he's coaching Miami now. But so you were seeing guys move around. Jeremy Pruitt starts in high school, goes to college. You know, Del McGee's in high school. He goes to college. And now you're seeing the things go back and forth. We see that with players, but I always want to point out that the college football guys, sometimes it feels like they are – just there to do their 3 years and move on to the NFL. Almost
I'll give you a quick, mercenary I'll give you one type, quick thing about coaching. I had a kid at North Carolina that we got a couple quarterbacks hurt, so we brought in a JUCO kid from the West Coast just for a backup. His name is Clyde Christensen, and he came in there and he played a little bit, but he ended up coaching a little bit in college. But he got one of these jobs in the pros where he was a like a film analysis guy for Tampa Bay. And then he got in tight with Trent Dilfer and he ended up coaching some with coach. They got the Indianapolis job. And anyhow, he ended up coaching the quarterback coach for Peyton Manning. And now he's at the Tampa Bay Bucks and he's a quarterback coach for Tom Brady. Oof. And pretty impressive for him, but come on, just get him to the game, Clyde. That's all you got to do.
But it's crazy how this stuff works out. But always for the people who sometimes think of these high school or these college players as being mercenaries or not invested in their school or in their team, and then you see guys, some opt out or some go pro a year early, and you crap on them saying that they quit on their team or they're only concerned about themselves. Look at who they hang out with the rest of their lives. Look at who they name their sons after. Look at who's the best men in their weddings. It's not always the guys they went to the NFL with. It's the guys they played college with, the guys they played high school with. You know, if you're familiar with a bunch of the Georgia players, you know that they are still tight and they hang out. When you see those Letterman Club meetings, those are lifelong friends. And so don't always think that they're just there to get their stipend, their scholarship, and then go to the NFL. A lot of them are here to play for Georgia, to play for their teammates. So I'll get off my soapbox there. It just bugs me when I see everybody talking about, oh, well, he left early. He's just not a team guy. I'm like, no, he's got to do what's good for him. But it wasn't a easy decision because they, a lot of times they hate leaving their buddies. And when I think about a guy like Roquan Smith who broke down crying because he wanted to come back to Georgia but knew he needed to go, that's a guy who wanted to come back and play for his teammates. And then you look at the seniors this year that are coming back, you know, the guys who could go to the NFL who decided to come back and play. When you see a James Cook who's coming back or a Zamir White, those are guys that want to come back and be with their teammates. And they want to, you know, have fun. And because you only get so many shots at. So very excited about spring practice coming up. Very excited about these seniors coming back. And very hopeful that the guys in Mobile make a strong name for themselves in the Senior Bowl. They've given Georgia their all. And you hope that they are now rewarded with a nice spot in the draft.
You want to get on the show?
Anyway, we're going to take off, folks. Tune in next Tuesday. We'll be talking more coaching search. We'll be talking more.
I just want to say one thing to our man, Jake Roos. You can't make the club in the tub.
We'll have Jake back and he'll ask your questions about the DB guys. I guarantee it. So.
Hope he feels better. Shout out, as you say. Hope he feels better, but can't make the club in the tub.
I have like six people who could replace him, but you know, I don't want to have to do that because it's paperwork and I hate paperwork. So, anyway, we love you, Jake. I hope you feel better soon. Get back on your feet and be ready for next week's show.